You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
There's a really powerful lesson that I learned. I don't remember who said it originally, okay? But the whole notion was that you basically have to treat the internet as just a lead machine. The internet is the worst salesperson on the planet. And by extension, it takes a lot of work to get a sales funnel to be the best salesperson on the planet, but it still never will be.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on? It is Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. I am, you know what, I'll tell you right now, I'm actually folding clothes. I hate doing laundry. I hate it so much. I was laughing. Someone's like, what's your daily routine? Guys, I am not the guy to follow when it comes to daily routines. I am still struggling to figure that out for myself. Weekly routines, all that kind of stuff. I tend to work more in these, like, in fact, I know a lot of you also are like this, and if you're not, that's fine too. We're all different, right? But I tend to need cave time, is what I call it. Cave time, unplanned, unstructured, uninterrupted chunks of time where I can just let my mind do whatever the heck it wants. Like, I do some of my best work like that, you know? And sometimes the moment strikes and sometimes it doesn't. And so that makes it a little bit hard for things like routines and schedules. And I'm not defending the fact that I have not taken the time to put together schedules and routines. But it's just not how my head works right now. So one thing at a time, small potatoes, big potatoes. So yeah, I'm folding my laundry right now. I hate folding clothes. I will never fold socks. Why do people fold socks? They're all the same. You just shove them. I literally threw away every single sock that was not the same, and I just throw them in a pile. Anyway, laundry tips with Steve. And I'm not going to try and tell you how long this pile of clothes has been here on the ground. It's just not my jam. Oh, man. Isn't it funny that after a while, like, there's discipline, but then there are things that you can just pay someone else to do for you that just increase your speed. It's like my communication style. I know that I am sometimes not easy to get a hold of. I know that. And then one day I realized, do I actually want to go through what it would take for me to get good at that? Nope. Not really. I'd rather build systems around me that fix that gap. You know what I mean? You gotta fax Dan Kennedy still. Literally. That's the only way he talks to people. His assistant faxes him, like, the to-do lists and the things she needs and forwards the faxes, not email, fax machines. You know, so I always laugh. Sometimes I'll have people be like, you have to work on that. I'm like, do I? I don't know. See, I can't tell because it used to kind of, like, be something that kind of I felt really bad about. I'm like, but for some reason, man, that's just the way my head works and whatever. So you do you, boo. I don't know. I'll fix it as time goes, or I've at least gotten better at addressing it. I have systems in place and an EA, and you know what I mean? Like, there's actual official ways. If you are actually trying to reach me, the best place to go to stevejlarson.com, by the way, stevejlarson.com. There's a form at the bottom that says, hey, is there something that you need here that you don't know where to ask it, put it right here, and we see that. So, anyway, that's not at all what I was going to talk about, but enough people ask about my routines. I figure it's valuable enough to talk about for a moment. What I did want to talk about is, so Funnel Hacking Live was 2 weeks ago. I told you I came back and got sick pretty immediately, and then Marley did as well. And Funnel Hacking Live was awesome. I worked really hard to show up in a way that I got this epic coach. He's an amazing coach. And he taught me that he's like, Steven, there's three masks. There is a victim, right? If you're an adult, that means you're acting as your child, right? So you're a victim. There is a professional avoider. This is the person who refuses to feel emotions, right? And they're professional at not being real, right? And not being honest about what's going on. They're professionals. And then the third mask is the warrior. All right. And he's like, those are all useful in instances, but not as a consistent fuel source, which is why I needed to change fuel sources. I didn't have the language to talk about that. I didn't know that's what was going on. I didn't have the language to talk about it this way, you know, when I was going through it. But really, the beginning of season two is me talking about the shifting and the changing of fuel sources. So he was like, when you go to Funnel Hacking Live, he's like, don't you dare bring a bodyguard. And I was like, kind of pooped my pants a little. I was pretty nervous about that. And it's not because I'm afraid of people. People misunderstand it. I'm not afraid of people. It's that I never really learned how to, in an Olympian way, not warrior, an Olympian way, not avoider, in an Olympian way, not victim, be able to communicate my own needs. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm sorry. I can't speak to you about this right now. I'm supposed to go over in that other room and meet someone because I got to speak. You know, like I just wouldn't have communicated that. And in the name of constantly giving, would stand in the same corner for 3 hours. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying is that right there. So I had the amazing opportunity to practice this the entire time. And I just would constantly, before going, leaving the hotel room, just think that I'm there to love. I'm there to serve. I'm there to inspire. I'm there to share and give and help people, you know, feel motivated on their journey. It is hard. Let's talk about it, right? Entrepreneurship is challenging. But when I start to feel that I'm done, I just say it and walk, right? In respect, in love, in a great way that creates more love and solutions for the person. And so I got to tell you, I'm really proud of that. This is a personal win that I'm giving right now. That was a huge win. I've had a bodyguard for three years before that, which I understand why people get them, obviously. But for me, that's not what this is about. So if this sounds cheesy or be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know, this is just a personal thing I had to go through for some reason. So I'm really proud how I showed up and I served and I gave. And when I felt like, you know what, it's time for me to, I need to either leave or I'm not comfortable with the opportunity that someone's telling me about, like, you know, move on. So it might sound weird. It might sound weak. I don't really care. When I was at Funnel Hacking Live, we got our two Comic Cup award and I had a chance to teach about sales funnels in a way. This is what Russell and I talked about. I had a chance to teach about sales funnels in a way that I'm guessing most have not thought of, but should really accelerate the value that you get back from your funnel. Right? We talked about the power of dramatic demonstrations. And what I also was trying to do was I was trying to help people see that a sales funnel is nothing more than a salesperson. It has the same general title. Sales funnel, salesperson. And when you think about a sales funnel in that way, I want you to act, and we're going to personify what sales funnels are. Is this something I was thinking about during Funnel Hacking Live? It's something I was thinking about in the creation of the speech that Russell and I did, because I wanted people to start to, while I did not explicitly get time to go through this very same thing I went through, this is not what I talked about at FHL, and that's not what this episode is. So while I didn't have a time to go through that, it is definitely one of the fueling thoughts to everything that I shared on that stage. you need to think about sales funnel as a salesperson. And so let's personify your sales funnel to audit it. I have had lots of great salespeople. I've had a lot of great salespeople work for me. For a while there, as we were building out a phone team before I decided to make a shift, which I'll get back to a cool phone team here soon. What I would do is I would bring in a batch of, 8 to 12 new salespeople. And, this is kind of during the time in the between time between season one and season two of Sales Funnel Radio. This is some of the stuff I was doing. I get 8 to 12 salespeople in a room and say, hey, look, these are good leads. They're coming from funnels. They're being warmed up. You got to sell something in 2 to 3 weeks or you're gone. Okay. That's just, it's part of the game. It's a, put up or shut up kind of a thing, So if a salesperson can't sell, then the chair could be filled with somebody who is. And so it's kind of what I would do. And you have a bit of a revolving door while you're building a sales team like that for a while. But, what was cool was to see more of, how a sales funnel and salespeople interacted. And it meant that the sales funnel would be some instances would be collecting the lead with a sale, and sometimes they would just be collecting a lead with just like a free opt-in or something like that. And so the transition between a sales funnel to a salesperson was very fun one to go explore and dive through as well. And it started making me realize and look at the internet very differently. When you think of it, pretty sure Russell was telling me this. This is years ago though. Okay. Years and years ago. And there's a really powerful lesson that I learned. I don't remember who said it originally. Okay. But the whole notion was that you basically have to treat the internet as just a lead machine. The internet is the worst salesperson on the planet. Okay. And by extension, it takes a lot of work to get a sales funnel to be the best salesperson on the planet, but it still never will be. Okay, sales funnels and internet in general should be viewed as a lead gen source, right? I started looking at all the patterns of people who stayed in the game the longest and thrived and then didn't just survive. And in every instance, the entrepreneurs who got the role of sales off of their own shoulders the fastest were the ones who like exploded the best. Did you hear what I just said? That's a very key thing that I just said, okay? In every instance where the entrepreneur got the role of marketing and sales off of their shoulders and onto the shoulders of others or systems or processes, the fastest, those are the ones that exploded. You think of what a sales funnel is. All you're doing is you're putting the role of sales and marketing off of your shoulders. People can go there at any time. It's automated. It can go to lots of people. And so we need to think about how powerful sales funnels are. You guys know this, but I'm trying to bring another lens to it because there's a big point I want to make here. Sales funnels, right? They're an amazing salesperson in that they just never stop, right? 24/7, 365, right? Rain or shine, that's one of the benefits. The omnipresence effect of the funnel. But one of the worst parts of the internet is the inability to customize message to every single specific scenario of every lead who is remotely interested in buying your product or your service. Right? So think about this. Like if I'm going to go into a sales funnel and yeah, there are ways to branch out and you can use surveys and you can use all those different kinds of things to spread out the message and make an individualized funnel. And you should definitely do that once the offer is proved. And you started to scale. And there's a timeline when that really starts to take effect. And that's great. And you make whole veins of different, messaging and sequences and emails based on the different scenarios. But you still can't get all the way down to the core. It can't customize to every person still. You kind of still have to do that even at a broad level. Does that make sense? Like you can't cut. So the internet is really one of the worst sales people on the planet. Okay. I'm not trying to offend anybody. In fact, I was trying to open up in a cheeky, fun way, at Funnel Hacking Live. So Russell, you know, introduced me, brought me on. And the first thing I asked is if anybody in the audience has tomatoes. Like, anyone here? Tomatoes? Cool. Okay, because I'm going to say something that might make you mad. There's no such thing as internet marketing. Pause for effect. There really isn't. Right? There's marketing, and then the internet is just a distribution channel. And when you realize the relationship between marketing and the internet, you realize that marketing really has nothing to do with the internet. The internet is just a way to get marketing out. It's important to, and, oh, these are like really minute semantics. I've had people like make fun of me for getting that granular. But understanding how the relationship between two separate things is foundational to being able to master them, right? And so what is marketing? Certainly not the internet. Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to say here. The internet is a distribution channel. The internet is a lead source. The internet is veins of leads and leads and leads. It's the most amazing lead machine, but it's a terrible sales machine. You with me? I'm trying not to go too deep on this, but the whole concept between the relationship between the internet and your funnel. Pretend your funnel is not online. Pretend it's offline. Pretend it's a real human being. The internet would just be the place where you're finding people's contact info of someone who says they're interested to call. Right? Have you ever wondered or wished why, like, it wouldn't be cool if someone handed you a phone book, but all the phone numbers were of the people who are interested in your thing? That's what the internet is. It's the aggregator of people who are interested. That's really it. Like, and in a lot of instances, you can break even on the cost that it takes for you to make that lead list, right? But when you start to treat funnels like that way, and, you know, I'm not saying everyone has to go offline or with a physical salesperson. Not that at all. I still believe that that's like one of the most amazing 3X everything moves is to still do that. Even if you're an e-com or software, or even if you are, everyone should be called. You should have a phone call, in my opinion, backed by a lot of experience. I'm just kidding, getting more and more. Anyway, all right. So start to think about this, though. The internet, what is the relationship between marketing and sales? We know that marketing should be measured in lead gen. That's it. Marketing is measured with lead gen. Was there a lead created? No? Well, then that piece of content you put out wasn't marketing. It's just content. Right? So if marketing is lead gen, what is sales? Well, how do you know if sales did its job? Because money came in, right? So you measure sales with closing. Marketing is only measured in lead gen, not likes, not subscribes, not comments, not shares, none of that crap. Okay. Now those are important metrics, but that's not marketing. Separate them, right? Then what's the relationship between marketing versus sales, right? Sales is the act of closing the lead that marketing created. So then what is the internet for? It's a distribution channel of marketing efforts. That's all it is. And if you sell online, that's awesome. But understand that there's a huge amount of pie that you're still leaving on the table. And it's because the internet is the worst salesperson on the planet. Sales funnels can't, right? I'm trying to tell you, put on the business owner hat. Okay, for a moment, set the marketing hat to the side. For a moment, set the sales hat to the side. For a moment, set all the goofy metrics we all know about internet stuff to the side and act strictly as a business owner. And you have some resources, even if you're solo, right? You still have some resources. You still have the ability to aggregate and create when you need to be resourceful, right? So think about this. You're like, ooh, I have to go hire somebody today because my team, my company, even if you're a solopreneur, my company needs more sales efforts. That's what a CEO is thinking about, basically revenue and systems, right? The P&L and systems. That is basically the role of a CEO. Highly unsexy. So much rather.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
So much rather be the marketer. I'm so excited. I'm being the marketer in our company again for a while because I miss it. So, which is great. So think about that. You're the CEO and you're like, hey, look, I've got to go get some more leads for this company. I got to get some more revenue in. I got to get more sales. I need some way to systemize it. That's what a funnel does. Is it is the catch-all salesperson in your company. It's the catch-all salesperson in your company. And in some instances, you're just collecting a lead and contact info. In other instances, you are getting some kind of sale, be it high, low, or medium ticket or recurring revenue, whatever that might be. Right? And depending on whatever kind of structure you need to build for your company. So that's why we build them. And that's what I think about when I'm building them also now. And they are functions of sales rather than the end all be all in sales. And it's an appendage to the larger whole. And it's been really fun to explore that and think more about that. So I wanted to give you what I originally started this podcast to talk about. I want to give you just briefly if you think about sales funnels as a physical personified salesperson, what are the things that you would expect a salesperson in your company to be doing? How would you know? Because I get asked this a lot. When is the funnel just dead and you need to move on? Well, okay, let's ask that same question is if this was a physical person inside of your, let's say you have an office, whether you do or don't. Let's say you do and you have someone who comes in every day and they are following up with leads trying to sell, whether that be phones or DMs or whatever. Okay. How would you know if it's not working out? Same, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's the same problem. And yeah, we're looking at different metrics, but you do the same thing when there's a physical salesperson in your office. You're sitting there and there's metrics and they hand reports to you and you're looking at them and you listen to the calls and you give feedback on what they did right and what they could improve on, right? It's the same thing. You got a walk-in referral? Awesome. AKA an affiliate sent someone to you, right? So think of your internet, you know, business. If you don't have a physical brick and mortar or you don't have an office you go to, think of all of it like that, what the functions are still sitting in. That's why I laugh when someone's like, hey, this new platform's coming out. Is it going to be awesome? I'm like, let me guess. Is it going to help me get a lead? Is it going to help me get a sale? Yeah, then sweet. That's why it doesn't really, there's a lot of power in the ability to shift and change when you look at the internet in this way. You're not so platform. You're more platform agnostic. It doesn't matter what happens on the internet. I'm still going to use the dang thing for any kind of leads coming in. I'm still going to break even on a lot of them by selling them something ahead of time. And that's how you build a business and not an internet dependent business, right? That's the difference right there. So think about it. I want to tell you real quick what we would do when I was a sales guy. I was a door-to-door sales guy for 2 summers. I did it explicitly because I heard Robert Kiyosaki say that if you're an entrepreneur and can't sell, you're dead. So I was in college and I was like, ah, crap, I don't know how to sell. I'm dead. And all I want to be is an entrepreneur. And so I don't remember what business try I was in the middle of, but I decided to pause all of that and just go learn how to sell. And so I went and did 2 summers of door-to-door sales. Well, I'd already done 1 summer, I guess, by that time. But I went back for that reason, did a summer of door-to-door sales, and then I was like, oh, I haven't gotten enough rejection, I guess. And I decided to be a telemarketer. And I was a telemarketer selling B2B. We were selling a software. It was some of the first cool software where you could do like texting, like mass texting. Tells you how long ago that was. And it was this epic, I still remember the name of it. And it was just cold calling. So I was cold calling business owners all day. And we'd figure out how to get past their gatekeeper and figure out how to, you know. So think about this. How would you replicate what I just said in a sales funnel? It's important to look at them this way, right? Sales funnel, not marketing funnel. Marketing is what typically happens before page one. All right, that's how you get people to the funnel. There's still marketing, obviously, inside of it, but it takes the back seat. So think about this, though. Let me tell you a little bit more. We would wake up every single morning, and the first thing that we did, we had the same routines when I was on. So this is when I was a door-to-door sales guy for the second summer. I was one of the top sales guys for the first half of the summer. And halfway through, something happened. I'll tell you about that another time. But this was our routine. As a sales guy, our routine was that we would wake up, we'd get to the office by 10:30, and then what we would do was we would practice overcoming objections. Right? There's a lot of words for this, but we would practice overcoming objections. We would pretend that we would be on the doors, and we'd be getting the toughest objection that we got the day before. And so you'd pair off with a buddy, like, hey, what was the biggest objection you got yesterday that you had a hard time overcoming? Selling pest control at that time. Someone was asking if the pest control is safe, and I actually sucked at answering it, and I'm starting to get that question more and more. So, you know what, first I want to see how you do it, and then I'll do it back. So we go, knock, knock, knock. Hey, what's up? Hey, it's, my name is Steve. I'm spraying the Jones's house down the street. You know, treat your house for half off. If we can do it in the next few hours here, just because getting the truck is half of our cost, is 4 or 5 o'clock okay for you today? And that was what our opener was. And then the next person would say, you know what? I think it's awesome and I really want this pest control, but you know what? I'm having a hard time on knowing, is this safe for my kids? I got 3 little ones in here. Oh, stumble, fumble, mat time, practice. Okay. And so that's what we would do. So we would also look at yesterday's numbers. We would have some quick celebrations. We would say, hey, this went great. Hey, this went terrible. Let's give the bonus shout out for sales rep number 12 who went and crushed it. You know what I'm saying? It was a meeting. So we do our reports. We do that. And then we would go and we would start to shotgun fire, overcome objections for about 15 minutes-ish. We would look at the areas that we're in, look at all of our reports and all the leads that were warm that we needed to go back to that day. We would really quickly figure out who's going in what cars, and then we would drive out to the area. And as we're driving out to the area, you know, sometimes we'd keep going on the objection stuff. Sometimes we'd just chat. We'd relax for just a moment as the calm before the storm. And as we get dropped off in our areas, the rule was that we had to sprint to our first door and knock it as fast as we could. Okay. And if there was no one that answered, you were not off the hook. Sprint to the next house and knock on the door. Sprint to the next. You're trying to talk to somebody as fast as physically possible because you need to overcome the first day jitters, right? Even if someone opens the door, slams the door, right, swears at you and just, you know, they're clearly having a bad day, just took it out on you. That counted. You needed to get in front of a human being to talk to as fast as possible. Otherwise, you start to delay, you know, any kind of sale for the sake of nerves. Nerves are fine. It's what you do about it. Everyone's going to get nervous. You should never expect to not get nervous. You're going to get nervous. But it's what you do about it when you feel it. So anyway. Okay. So I'm not done folding my clothes. So I'm going to keep going for just a second here because I want to take the story of what our routine was as a sales guy and share with you what to do about it. Because everything that I just talked about, those weren't just because I was a salesperson. Those are core functions of the sales department. So think about if your sales funnel is the only person staffed person, if your sales funnel person is the only person, we're going to keep personifying funnels here, in your company, call it the sales department. And you have the sales department and you get to go to the sales department and keep it accountable and say, hey, tell me about the numbers yesterday. What went well? What went awful? What are the main objections we're starting to overcome? Oh man, how can we practice overcoming an objection? What are the epiphany bridge scripts we can tell? What are the stories that we can tell? What are the experiences of other of other customers that we can be putting inside of our email sequences? Okay, now let's look at all of our leads. Okay, look at the leads. Looks like these leads came in. These are the hot ones. We need to make sure we follow up with them. How many times do we follow up with them? Probably 5 to 7 times. Hence, 5 to 7 emails in a follow-up sequence. Does it make sense? Think about your sales funnel like a salesperson. It's going to be wildly more effective as a major function in your business. And when you treat it that way and you call it the sales department, right? Not that you have to call it that, but think of it like that. It starts to take shape in terms of what it is that you actually expect out of the thing. Steven, how do I know my funnel's working? You'll know. Steven, how do I know my funnel's dead? How would you know that with a real person? You see what I'm saying? And think of that, because I'm asked that question often enough. That's one of the more frequent ones, is especially in the topic of funnels itself. So I want you just to think of it like that though, and think about what you can do with your funnels to do the main functions that a salesperson has. A salesperson, I expect them to follow up with every lead, 5 to 7 times. A lead is somebody who demonstrated interest in purchase. They said, I'm interested. Just because they have a heartbeat doesn't mean they're a lead. You know what I mean? For example, let me tell you, remember that. So whenever we'd go knock doors, we would just keep track of the house numbers that were either interested or told to come back later, or we didn't get a chance to talk to yet. And so it's not we were knocking every single door every single day. We did that in a neighborhood only the first day. The way you work the neighborhood is very different, though. You knock all the doors at once, as fast as you can. You talk to whoever you can. You keep in track of the houses that are saying come back, the houses that are saying get lost and go die in a gutter, the houses that are saying I'm interested, but I got to talk to my spouse, come back later, the houses that have another service and you probably could just switch them over. You see what I'm saying? And so you're working the neighborhood. So although it might take you 1 or maybe 2 days to knock a neighborhood, you're working the neighborhood for 2 weeks. And it's the same way with leads. And I've noticed that in our community, most of us actually do have enough leads. We just don't treat them well enough. No one's following up 5 to 7 times, or at least there's not an email follow-up sequence in every single funnel. You see what I'm saying? There's not an ascension sequence, right? A salesperson also calls existing buyers and says, hey, do you want the next package up? There's no sequence. No one's built a sequence for that. And so my sales funnel doesn't work. Well, that means you don't know sales, right? It means that you have a hard time with copy and probably sales and the way somebody shows up. But think about how it's a core function of every company. Sales can't not be in business and not sell. Got to sell. And so think about that. That's why I laugh. Will sales funnels work for me? I'm like, well, does someone need to transact anywhere at any time ever for you to be in business? Yeah. I'm like, well, it's offline. That's fine. You still can use the internet for leads. Like I was talking about before, use the internet as lead gen. And for those of you who can sell online, sweet, sell online. But remember, it's not nearly the most effective or powerful salesperson in effect ever. I can't remember. It might have been Perry Belcher that talked about this. I'm sorry, Perry. But it's the least effective salesperson. And I know I keep saying that, and it's because I'm just trying to drive the point home here. And the functions you would expect a salesperson to do, expect that out of your business, out of your sales funnel. And when the numbers aren't there, hey, we're getting this many leads every day, this many conversions. What can we do to get from 10% to 11%? Those are great questions to ask. Those are great questions you would ask of any sales team as well. And that's really the main point I want to make, is to go build like that, and to go build in a way that, keep in mind with these funnels that they, like, keep them within the lens that they are in, meaning they're part of a larger whole, right? The reason you create content and do dramatic demonstrations out on the internet and buy ads and all that stuff is to get attention to your hook, leading them to a sales funnel where they either buy or don't. But regardless, they're still treated as a lead. They're going to get followed up. They're going to get ascended. People are going to ask why they buy or didn't. They're going to get upsold to. Everything you would expect if you were doing a literal face-to-face sales conversation with a big purchase. They're going to ask you all these options. Hey, do you want this or that? Do you want this or that? Do you want this or that? Upsell, downsell, upsell, downsell. Do you know what financing? Do you know what the payment plans are? Do you want to be able to have the specialty protection program? Whatever, right? And it's the same thing with the funnel. And thinking of it in that way really starts to put into shape the relationship between your funnel and the internet and marketing, and how they're all three very separate things. They're all measured differently, but we still can treat them like departments and as if in a traditional business and expect those functions from them and ask those types of questions. Those are the questions that drive decision rather than what color should the button be? You know, is this, I'm not saying this stuff doesn't work or isn't powerful. Of course it's powerful, but that's like so far down the line for people. Micro split testing versus even macro. I only ever do macro if I ever even get to it ever. Anyway, yeah, there's a point where I stop optimizing and I'm like, cool, this is how this funnel performs. This is how this message performs. Let's just go on to the next one. We'll keep this one running. Anyway, all right, guys, hopefully it's helpful. And I kind of just brain dumped for a bit there, but this has been on my mind. And, you know, in the past, I've talked about, in fact, there's an episode I created. I've been nervous to put it out. I've had it recorded for 6 months. It's a episode that talks about unromanticizing the funnel, not in the sense of don't have one. And that's been the biggest concern I've had with that episode, is I'm not trying to say don't have one. I'm saying you should have one. But again, it's another area and deep dive into treating the funnel for the function that it's meant for, rather than my funnel is my business. Funnels aren't companies. Funnels, you know what I mean? A funnel, when I had all these salespeople come walking on in, they're not the company. It's a function of the company, right? Keep it that way. Remember that it is that way. Otherwise, the tail starts to wag the dog. So anyway, you guys are great. I'll talk to you guys later. Grateful for you. If you would be so kind as to rate and share the podcast, that would be awesome. I'd say that compared to where the followership was of this show to season one, we're at about half, which is pretty good considering I didn't publish on it for 2 years. So pretty good. Like, it's awesome. You know, I think that's great. I'm trying to continue to tell iTunes and Spotify that this is actually material and content that is worth something. There's a lot of junk out there that I get surprised gets big. And I'm like, you're sharing fluff. There's literally, what is even, there's no context. There's no substance. There's no meat. I'm a meat kind of guy. I'm a straight up carnivore, baby. All right, guys.
You guys know the Get Rich Give Back is the slogan of the capitalist pig. Because money doesn't change us, it also amplifies us, right? It's a magnifier of who you really are at your core, which makes it a really good teacher. So, considering everything going on, there's nothing like passively offending whiny, small-brained socialists, and it's very easy to do. Number one, go get your Capitalist Pig shirt at capitalismswag.com. Number two, put it on. And then number three, watch the face melt off of anyone with what I call tiny brain syndrome and those who hate healthy economies. If you can't tell, I am vehemently against socialism, and it's because the Capitalist Pig message is a call to remember to use your own willpower to carve your own path, right? It's the ultimate ownership and self-fulfillment. We have Capitalist Pig shirts, hats, sweaters, stickers, more. We got tons of stuff in there now. There's never been a time like this in human history where the sickness of entitlement is spreading. I believe in work. I want the grit, right? There's a serious need for all of us to open our mouths and start talking about this more and say that we choose to have choice. We choose the struggle towards the goal, right? Rather than to be coddled and sedated into socialism. Yes, I'm very passionate about this. If this is resonating with you and you believe the same, go get your capitalism swag at capitalismswag.com. I honestly believe that God would rather me be rich than poor, right? I can do more with more money. Money's not evil. It's quite literally cotton. Capitalism fosters personal power and growth. And so I say yes to the grit of all of it. If this is resonating with you, please stand with us, open your mouth more, and go get your swag at capitalismswag.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.